faithfulness is what we're talking about. And the definition that we gave, very simple, very practical definition of faithfulness that we used last week and we'll continue using, is that faithfulness is reliable, trustworthy, dependable, and consistent. And last week, what we focused on as we just began the teaching on faithfulness was, why do we need to bother about faithfulness? In a society where faithfulness doesn't seem to be a high priority in most people's list, as far as giving it, I think everybody still wants it given to them. They want people to be faithful to them, but a lot of times people don't want to be faithful. It's a very interesting little thing going on in our society. But if people aren't that interested in being faithful, then why should we knock ourselves out and become faithful? Well, we talked about last week so that we understood why we are even discussing this. Number one reason is God rewards faithfulness. Anybody like rewards? Rewards are good things. And we went through a number of scriptures last week about specific rewards for faithfulness. But we also talked about how that not only is faithfulness rewarded, but we see a number of examples in the Bible where unfaithfulness is penalized. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, faithfulness is rewarded. Well, okay, you know, I don't have to worry about that. I'll miss out on a reward or two. You know, but when you realize unfaithfulness can get you penalized, that kind of makes you listen a little bit, because we don't want to pay a price for something that we should have been diligent about. And so that's one reason why we should be working on this and developing faithfulness in our lives. It's important. But then the other reason that we gave for why we need to develop faithfulness is very simply, God is faithful. There is none faithful like our God. You cannot find a greater example of faithfulness anywhere than our God. And we are told as followers of Jesus Christ that we are to be imitators of our Father God. And for that reason alone, we should develop faithfulness. And so we kind of established those reasons last week. So we're, you know, talking about how God is faithful, we shared the scripture. It's on your outline, 2 Timothy 2:13, where it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful to us. Because that scripture says he can't help it. He just can't help it. It's just his makeup. It's just the way he is. And that is how he wants us to be too. He wants us to grow to that place where we just can't help it, but to be faithful people of God and to be examples of that to everyone we come in contact with. So we talked about and got out of the way the little issue about why should we do this, okay? So now we know there really is really good reasons why you need to learn and I need to learn how to become more faithful in this life. So we got that down. We got the why down. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of it. We're going to get in, how do we become more faithful? How do we grow faithfulness in our life? And that's what we need to know. We've figured out we need to be faithful. We figured out why we need to be faithful. But now it's like, okay, how do I do this? So we're going to get real practical tonight, and we're going to talk about some of these things. In fact, tonight we're going to talk about four ways that you can start working on developing faithfulness in your life. And next week we're going to talk about four more. But tonight we're only going to focus on the first four. And the first one, the first way that you can develop faithfulness in your life is keep your promises. Yeah. Proverbs 25:14, and this is the Good News Translation. It says, people who promise things that they never give are like clouds and winds that bring no rain. That's disappointing, is what that is. You see the storm clouds gathering, you're thinking, oh, we're going to get some good rain. Nothing. It was like a promise that wasn't kept. And that's what this is telling us. Don't make promises and then don't keep them. It's just downright disappointing. And you don't want to be that way. And, you know, we all know people like that. I'm not going to ask you whether you're people like that, but we all know people like that for sure. That, you know, they make promises, but they never keep them. You know, they might say, well, I'm planning to do that. But you know what? They never, ever, ever get around to it. And, you know, after a while, when you've been around those kind of people, you kind of expect that to be their track record, right? In fact, you're like shocked when they finally do come through with something because it's so out of the ordinary for them, you know? We all know people like that. But we're talking about people like us tonight. And in that, we need to be careful about the promises that we make. As children of God, we need to be careful about the promises we make. You know, have you ever told someone that you'd call them back later and you never did? Have you ever said the check is in the mail before it really was? Or have you ever promised that you would pray for someone and then you forgot to? You know, we've all done it, and we've all done it. So that's not condemnation. That's just understanding, hey, we all need to work on this a little bit. We've all done it. We've all been guilty of that type of behavior from time to time. It happens, and sometimes purposely and sometimes accidentally, but it happens. But we are talking about, as followers of Jesus Christ, increasing in faithfulness. And since we are talking about that, we need to talk about, can your word be counted on? Can my word be counted on? We're talking about keeping our promises. You know, I don't know if you can relate to this idea, but let's just finish up that little thought. You know, if you're going to say something like, I'm going to return this to you as soon as I'm finished, we should do that. You know, if we say things like, we will do that later, we should do that later. And it's part of faithfulness is keeping your word. That is part of faithfulness. We've all probably seen this happen or maybe experienced this. Have you ever been in on this where, you know, when your children were little and in a moment of weakness, you know, they were pestering you. And so you made a promise just to get them out of your hair. You know, have you ever seen that happen or maybe experienced that yourself? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Probably you forgot all about that promise because you just made it in the flash of the minute and just to get them out of your way and to keep them from nagging on you and bothering you. And you said something and you promised them something and they went on their way. And you probably never thought about it again. But isn't it amazing how those little ones, that's the one thing they're not going to forget. And they will come back and they will remind you and they'll say, but Daddy, you promised. Or, but Mommy, you said. And, you never thought another thing about it. But those kids just don't forget that sort of thing and they'll come back on it. Well, we're talking about keeping your word. And as faithful people, we need to realize the importance of keeping our promises. Learning how to keep all of our promises. Don't make a promise if you will not keep it. That's what we're talking about. A rain cloud that doesn't even bring rain. You know, don't promise it if you have no intention of going there. Proverbs 20:25 says, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. And really what that's saying is don't make a promise just really, you know, in the heat of the moment or rashly without thinking it through. And then later realize, why did I say that? I wished I hadn't said that, you know? Yeah. We just didn't think that through. Put our word out there and we didn't mean to. We shouldn't have. We knew we don't intend to keep that. We didn't intend it when we said it. And we realize that that happens. And the scripture talks about that. Do you know the number one problem they say in parent-children relationship? The number one problem between parents and children is resentment. And the number one reason for resentment is not keeping your promises. They resent that. And of course, it can work the other way around too. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says this to us. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. All right, didn't I tell you this is going to be practical? It's going to be practical. Husbands and wives, what promises do you need to be keeping to your spouse? Have you promised to fix something around the house and you still haven't got around to it? Have you promised to take a little extra time off from work so you can spend time together, but yet you've never done it? Maybe you've promised that you're going to wake up in the morning and do devotions together, and yet it still hasn't happened. What promises have you made to your husband or your wife that you have not been keeping or have not kept? What have you made promises to your kids? Like maybe you said you'd take them to a special place, or you'd go out and play catch with them on Saturday, or some whatever. What promises have you possibly made to your kids or your grandkids, and you still have not kept that promise? We do it, and we're going to concentrate on this for a little while and work on this. But keeping your word isn't just for your family. And guys, keeping your word isn't just for Christians either. I'm not just required to keep my word to Becky because she's my sister in the Lord. It's not just about family, and it's just not about keeping your word to believers. It is about when you give your word to anyone, you keep it. Doesn't matter who it is. This is what we're talking about. One way to start developing more faithfulness in your life. Pay attention to this week. About keeping your promises. You know, when you're dependable, you don't have to convince people that you are. You don't have to say, you know, cross my heart and hope to die. I'm going to do it, I promise, you know. You don't have to say things like that. No, you just say you're going to do it, and then guess what? You do it. And, you know, just like God is faithful to perform his word, he tells us that his word goes forth and he's faithful to perform it. He's going to do his word. His word goes, every time his word goes out all over this planet, every day, every minute of the day, wherever this word goes out, God is there to make sure he keeps it. He said, I'll perform it. And just as God does that, then we as his children should have the same reputation. That's the reputation we're going to work towards. All right? You know, do we really want to increase in faithfulness? We're talking about becoming more like Jesus, becoming more like our Father God, and faithfulness is there. If we want to increase in faithfulness and start working on that and really cultivating that fruit, then one of the ways is to determine to be more conscious of your promises and of your word. And this week, that can be something that the Holy Spirit can help you with and me with too. To be aware of those things and of keeping your word. And you know what? Over time, your track record is going to speak for itself and others will know that you are a person that can be counted on. Like I said, you don't have to shout it. You don't have to jump up and down and say, I'm faithful, I'm faithful. Your track record is going to show it, all right, by how you keep your word and your promises. Second thing we want to look at tonight, we're talking about practical ways. These are things you work at to grow your faithfulness. Here's the second one. Honor your marriage. This story came to my mind. I had to share this. I may have shared this once before, but a number of years ago, one of the teenagers in our youth group realized and found out that I was John's wife and that my name was Sherry. And their next question surprised John so much when they asked, well, what was the name of your first wife? And I think my husband probably shocked that teenager even more by saying, she is my first wife. You know, that just shows that our society doesn't expect much faithfulness in marriage. Our children don't expect much faithfulness in marriage. They expect adults to be married many times. That's a sad commentary right there on our ability to honor marriage. Well, of course, some of us have been married for years in this room, and you're going to be married to the same person till the day you die, and there's no question about it. It's going to happen. But I also realize, everybody, that there are others in this room who have had other experiences in marriage. And we're not coming into that, and this is in no way any thoughts one way or the other. But what we do want to talk about is, you know, you can't change what's happened in the past. You just can't. It's gone, and we can't go back. So you can't change the past. So this is not about the past. What this is about is learning God's way of doing things for your future, for your present and your future. Whether you're married now, this is if you and you've had trouble in the past, then take some notes here. This is how God wants it done. You may not be married. You may never want to be married, you know, for the rest of your life, you think. That's fine. Some of these truths you're going to be able to share with someone else who needs to understand that marriage involves faithfulness in God's eyes. So just we're going to learn in this situation, no matter what situation you may be in, because one way to increase in faithfulness is to learn to honor your marriage. You know, in a wedding ceremony, that bride and that groom, they exchange rings as symbols of the vows that they're giving to each other. And they promise to be faithful to each other for the rest of their lives. That's what a wedding ceremony is all about. But here's a thought for you. A lot of times people think that when it comes to marriages, when we say, well, were they unfaithful in that marriage, we automatically think to adultery. But you don't have to commit adultery to be unfaithful in a marriage. All you have to do is to let something else take priority over your marriage. In other words, you have put something else ahead of your marriage. You love something more than your marriage. And therefore, you are unfaithful to your marriage. You know, it could be anything. It could be sports or community or church activities or television or work or whatever you want to put in the blank. If you place it above your marriage relationship, then you have just been unfaithful to your spouse because you have put something else ahead of that relationship. So, you know, we've kind of taken an easy road in this unfaithfulness in marriage and saying, well, that's just if I have an affair. No. That's not how God looks at this, because God's word says that when you are married, your relationship with your mate is only second to your relationship with God. God first, your marriage second. That's how God ordained it, and that's how it's supposed to be. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all. And that word honor, you might want to circle that just to realize how important that is. That word means marriage should, you should hold it in respect. You should value it with high esteem. You should take it seriously. And in this time, lots of people do not take marriage seriously. And that is not faithfulness. And that is, a child of God should not be having anything to do with that from this moment forward. Okay? Now, you know, if we want to develop this fruit of faithfulness, then honor your marriage. Put some effort into it. It does take effort. And, you know, do it. The love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13, it really kind of describes how the person you love should be able to count on you. It describes how you should be counted on. Being loving and being dependable go hand in hand. Faithfulness is a choice, as all the fruits are. Faithfulness is not depending on what the other person does. You're not faithful if they do this. You are faithful because you've committed to that. Not because of what they do or don't do. When you marry, you make that commitment, and regardless of what your mate does, now I want to put in there within reason, you choose to be faithful to the vows that you make. If you got questions about that little clause, you can ask me later. So, that second way to work on developing your faithfulness, those of you who are in a marriage right now, take some looks at your marriage relationship and see if you are being faithful. Are you placing your spouse ahead of everything else except the Lord? Faithful, okay? Keep your promises and honor your marriage. Third way that you get to practice being faithful this week and work at being faithful this week is to use your talents. Be faithful to use your talents. Well, you know, God has given all of us spiritual talents and natural talents. And gifts and abilities. And, you know, you could really put it this way. God has invested things in you. And like any wise investment, Any wise investor, he expects a return on his investment. He don't want to just be dormant. He doesn't want it to take a nosedive. He expects an investment on all those things he has put inside you, because he's invested those in you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. How? Faithfully. Administering God's grace in its various forms. If you don't share the gifts and talents you have that God gave you special, unique to you, then you are cheating other people. God gave you gifts and talents and abilities so that you can use them to bless others. And when you don't use them, you just cheated somebody out of that. It's not all about you. If you want to become more faithful, then we need to use what we've been given, whatever it may be. You know, you could say, well, I'm not talented like so-and-so is, or I can't sing like they do. Well, you may feel that your gifts and your talents and your abilities are not very spectacular, but that does not excuse you from using it anyway. No excuse. No excuse whatsoever. Faithfulness doesn't depend on what I do not have or I cannot do. This is it. Faithfulness depends on what I do with what I do have. Faithfulness has nothing to do with things that I can't do. There's lots of things I can't do very well. I don't have to worry about being faithful in those. What I am responsible for is to be faithful to the things God has given me, the things that he has gifted me in. It's all about being faithful to do what I already have. You're not responsible to sing solos for the Lord if he didn't give you that gift. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Yeah, see? You're already being set free tonight. But you are responsible to use the gifts and talents that God has given you. And if you've not been, you better pull them out and you better dust them off and you better get busy with them. Okay? We cannot be brilliant at everything. Sorry if you think you are. Reality check. You can't be brilliant at everything, but we can all be faithful. See, I can't say, well, she's just faithful. We all can be faithful. You can't use that one either, okay? We all can be faithful, all right? And faithfulness counts with God. We've already saw that last week. We're seeing it more and more this week. I'm telling you, God pays attention to faithfulness. He notices it, and he moves toward it. And he will reward it. So he notices faithfulness, all right? The next way we want to talk about today of how to develop your faithfulness this week. Make the most of your time. You know, time's something that we all have in common. We all have the same amount. Some aren't more blessed with it than others. We all have 168 hours in every week. Nobody has more. Nobody has less. We're all equal. Ephesians 5:15, and this is in the Phillips translation because it's very clear to show this point. It says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time. You could do three things with your time. You can spend it, you can waste it, or you can invest it. And your best choice is going to be to invest it into something that's going to outlast you. Because you only have so much time on this earth. One of these days, we're all going to be gone if Jesus doesn't come back. And what do we leave behind? Let's invest our time on something that will outlast us. That is wise, faithful investment. Faithfulness involves that wonderful concept that some of us really dislike, time management. Time management has a lot to do with faithfulness. There's two of the big wasters, time wasters, that I want to alert you to and that you need to pay attention to. Things that will waste time for you faster than anything else. And that is regret and worry. When you spend a lot of time regretting the past, then you are wasting a huge amount of time looking backwards on something you can't even change. It is a waster of your precious time. Regret. And when we spend and waste our time on worrying about the future, you are fretting over things that may not even happen. But yet you're spending time worrying about it. And down the road, it may not even happen. What a waste of time. You have wasted a lot of time on worry and energy that you could have used that day for something that would have been beneficial. Would have been a way to invest it. Right now, this moment, and now this moment, and now this moment, every moment you walk in, now is the time to be faithful. Now is the time to be faithful. You know, it's not when the kids are grown, I'll be faithful to do this. It's not when I retire, I'll have time to be faithful to this. It's not whenever you get more education, you're going to be faithful to this. It's not. God says to be faithful now, right now. Whatever you have, be faithful in it. Now, you know, you might be thinking, some of you are already screaming because you're thinking about your schedule and how crazy it is, you know, and how out of control. It's off the charts. You don't understand. I can't possibly control this schedule. It's just crazy. You know, it is true that saying that if you're burning your candle at both ends, you're probably not as bright as you think you are. We can all relate to that one, can't we? We think we're so smart, and it turns around and bites us. We're not that smart. Here's the deal. If you're already thinking in your mind, how can I possibly be faithful in my time? It's just everybody's grabbed it. It's gone. What can I do? How can I be sure I'm faithful over my time? I want you to understand something. God understands your schedule. He understands your life. He understands the kids. He understands the grandkids. He understands the job. He understands the pressures. He knows what's happening in your life. And he really probably understands the pressures of your schedule better than we understand it. So my suggestion to you and to me is that if you've got issues with how to figure out how to get this schedule back in control and therefore be faithful over your time and use it well, then I would suggest that you talk to God about it. And you just ask him, you know, God, is there things that I need to cut out that I shouldn't be doing? Or maybe, God, there's things that I should add to my schedule that I've been neglecting. You know, God can give you that kind of an input if we'll just ask him. I had to put this in here. It's a personal little story, but it just is so appropriate. You know, most of you know that John and I just recently took 2 weeks of vacation. We went to Branson. It was very relaxing, very restful. You know, lots of time just downtime. And during that time, you know, I really felt like the Lord was giving me some instructions concerning my schedule. Imagine that. I really didn't know that I was going to be teaching this about 3 or 4 weeks later, but he did. And he began kind of giving me some instructions about my own schedule and how I'm using my own time. And, you know, he showed me very clearly that I had been placing too much priority on some things and that I had not been placing enough priority on some other things. And we kind of, you know, between the Lord and I, we kind of came up with a plan of when I got back home and how we were going to make some adjustments and what would be the wise thing to do. Well, I'd love to stand here and tell you that it's all gone really well and I've just 100%. But I'd be lying. I have to say, though, the first week back, I did really good at carrying out these changes, I have to say. But honestly, you know, I would find myself after the first week to kind of start slipping into some of the old habits. So, you know, I'm still working on those changes, but I haven't given up. I still know what the Lord has told me, and I still know what I'm supposed to do. In fact, I can go back to that first week I came back and say, that's it. That's what it looks like. So we're continuing to work on that, and the Lord is helping me to learn to faithfully keep my priorities in balance. That was where my issue was, all right? And I have a feeling that probably like me, most of you can also say that, you know, you probably need to cut out some things, or you may need to add some things, or you may just need to reprioritize some things, you know, in order to be faithful to the time God has given you. God's given us that time to use, and he wants us and desires for us to use it wisely and to not squander it on things that it's just a waste of time. So God can help us make those choices as far as how to manage our time better where we're faithful with it, all right? And, you know, make your time count. That's one thing you could practice this week as far as growing that faithfulness in your life. Make your time count. Be faithful with what you've been given. Now, those are the four things, very practical things that we're talked about tonight as far as if you take those four things and you work on them this week, you're going to be busy people. And so am I. But that's what we're supposed to do. Take those things and say, okay, these are practical things. Now let me go do them this week. Let me look at it. Let me pay attention to it. Let me see, you know. But you might be thinking, and really almost in studying this and writing the notes down, I kind of was thinking, you know, faithful with promises and relationships and time and talent, it almost seems too practical. It almost seems too simple. It almost seems too ordinary, you know, for a church teaching. You know, it's so practical and it's so everyday. And, you know, almost wondering, okay, that's so normal. That's so practical stuff. How in the world is that going to possibly impact my spiritual growth? Because that's really what we're after. How is these four practical things, if I do them, everyday, ordinary kind of things, how is it going to actually help me to grow spiritually? I'm so glad you asked. Because the Bible is very clear that God will never promote a person who has not been found faithful in the little things first. Very clear. A scripture that we don't refer to very often, but in Nehemiah 13:13, it says that four men in Israel were found to be counted faithful. They were placed as treasurers over the storerooms in the house of God to distribute grains and other things. But the thing to notice there is that you realize their faithfulness was observed first. See, they were found to be faithful. Someone was watching them, and someone was checking out their track record, and someone said, these four guys are faithful. So they had to be observed to be faithful before they were given the important position. Faithfulness always comes before promotion. Always does. In the parable of the talents, which we talked about last week, it's in Matthew 25:21, and it talks about that good steward. And the deal is that he had to prove himself to be faithful. And only after he had proven himself to be faithful was he then given the reward of more responsibility and the reward of entering into the joy of the Lord. He had to be faithful first before he received the reward. So God's directions are very clear. There's no getting around it in this word. It's very clear. He says, be faithful where you are. Prove your faithfulness, and I will advance and promote you at the proper time. That's the way it works. So don't fall into that trap or that thinking of striving for those big things of God when you haven't even bothered to be faithful in little things yet, because you're just going to be spinning your wheels. We must learn to be faithful in the little things first. When a believer is faithful with the little things, like what, Sherry? Like keeping your word? Like honoring your marriage? Like knowing how to be faithful with the time God has given you? Little things like that. It takes us to be faithful in those little things. And when we learn that and do that, God notices it. It gets his attention. And I want to share this. As I was typing the end of these notes today. No, it was last night at home. As I was typing these notes, and I was just typing along, you know, and just getting them in there. And I typed a statement, and I thought, whoa, where'd that come from? And I truly do believe, I wouldn't say this if I didn't truly believe this, I believe that this statement was a direct word from the Lord as I was typing. Because as I wrote it, I realized it was birthed out of the Spirit. It wasn't anything that had come from here. It just was there, and it was just there. It was typed, and it was there. And I thought, whoa. So I really do believe that this is a word from the Lord for you all tonight. It's on your outline because I wanted you to take it with you. And I'm not speaking this as notes from Sherry's teaching. I'm speaking this as the word that the Lord has spoken to you tonight. If you will do your part, which is faithfulness, and you will allow me to do my part, which is to promote you, then you will find yourself walking in greatness that you never imagined. The Lord is speaking that to you tonight and to me too. I receive that, Lord. But pay attention to the process. Take it as it comes, as the Lord has directed us there and as he's directed us in his word. So you see, we're kind of fussing with how this is so very practical. It's just so normal teaching. But can you see that developing the fruit of faithfulness in our lives is more than just practical? It's far more than just practical. It is how you open the door to the dreams and the plans God has for your life. When he sees your faithfulness developing and being consistent, he can say to you, you know what? You are faithful in the little things. Now let me open that next door. This is the dream I really want you to go to. Or this is the plan I really have planned for you. I've seen your faithfulness, so now we can walk through that door. And then you'll be faithful there because you've learned to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And then when you're faithful there, the Lord will be able to say, I see that. I notice that. Let me open the next door to the next part of the dream I have for you, to the next part of the plan I have for you. That's how it works. Faithfulness, yes, is very practical. But it's also very spiritual. We need to work on this, develop this, and grow it. Don't just leave here, as I say, don't just leave here tonight and say, well, that was a good teaching. What I'd rather hear you say or see on Facebook or hear on a telephone call is, you know what? I paid attention to not wasting my time this week. Or I paid attention to be more faithful to my spouse this week. I paid attention to keeping my promises, not speaking things that I knew I wasn't going to keep. I didn't say things that I wasn't going to keep. That's what I want to hear. Those are the things that we want to hear. Those are the things I want to experience this week because that means I'm actually working at growing that faithfulness. And that will make it grow. And it will cause it to become more of a part of my life.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.